Ray-Ban and Oakley have been two of the most well-known and consistently best-selling brands of sunglasses for decades. If you go down to Sunglass Hut or most other similar retailers, these are the two that you are most likely to see. They are considered higher-end premium brands, so they usually cost a few $100s. But if you take care of them, value fashion, and live in a sunny area, I would say it is probably worth investing in a pair. In the United States, sunglasses were not all that popular until the 1930s. Oddly enough, movie stars were wearing them in sunny California, partially to block out the sun and partially so they would not be recognized. People wanted to be like these movie stars, so there was suddenly a high demand for sunglasses, and over the past 90 plus years, it has since grown into a multi-billion dollar market. From what I can tell, Ray-Ban has essentially led that market almost from the beginning, currently accounting for an estimated 20% of all sales in the US, while Oakley maintains a consistent second place at around 15%. Obviously, these two have been positioned as rivals, competing against each other for the attention of, well, anyone looking to buy sunglasses. I think it is interesting that in 2025, rapper ASAP Rocky was named creative director at Ray-Ban, and then only a few months later, rapper Travis Scott was appointed chief visionary over at Oakley. Trust me when I say that all of this is much more connected than you may realize, so I think it would be interesting to talk about what has been happening throughout the industry while comparing these brands in five major categories. Starting off at the beginning with the foundation, Ray-Ban originated in the 1930s as part of a large company that specialized in lenses and eyewear called Bausch & Lomb. Air travel was still emerging, and there was a real problem where intense glare from the sun was making it difficult for pilots to see properly and even making them feel sick. Well, Bausch & Lomb created special anti-glare sunglasses for pilots in the U.S. Army Air Corps to help address that issue. The name Ray-Ban was soon chosen to emphasize the protection they offered from the sun's rays, and the name Aviator was later assigned to that specific line of sunglasses, well, for obvious reasons. They were worn by members of the US military during World War II, including General Douglas MacArthur, and considering the public's newfound fascination with sunglasses, Ray-Ban quickly emerged as one of the coolest, best-selling brands. Now, the origin of Oakley is different in just about every way imaginable. Instead of airplanes, it was motorcycles. Instead of a large corporation, it was one person with a $300 investment. In 1975, James Jannard created a motorcycle hand grip that was made from a special rubber compound and featured one of those octopus tread patterns. That was the first ever product sold by Oakley that, by the way, much like the chicken restaurant Raising Cane's, was named after his dog. Just a few years later, they started selling motorcycle goggles that wisely had the Oakley name printed toward the top of them and across the strap. Then, in 1984, that led to them selling sunglasses. Admittedly, the original factory pilot eye shades still looked a lot like goggles, but the following year, they released a much more traditional-looking line called Frog Skins. So now that everything is established, I'm gonna go back to my list to the next category of comparison, promotion. Even though Oakley and Ray-Ban originated as sportier brands with a specific purpose, Ray-Ban evolved into much more of a fashion brand with the 1952 release of the Ray-Ban Wayfarer. They were famously worn by James Dean in the movie Rebel Without a Cause, and that helped spark a craze where they were being worn by some of the biggest celebrities of the time, including Bob Dylan, Muhammad Ali, and President John F. Kennedy. Then, in the 1980s, the Ray-Ban Wayfarer had a massive resurgence after being prominently featured in multiple movies, most notably Risky Business. After Tom Cruise wore them in some iconic scenes, sales reportedly rose 20 times higher than the year before. And maybe even more impressive is the fact that Tom Cruise also helped rejuvenate the original Aviators line after wearing them in the movie Top Gun only 3 years later. Needless to say, in the 1980s, Ray-Ban was doing better than ever, making it tricky for an emerging brand like Oakley to capture people's attention. Remember, they released their first sunglasses not even a full year after Risky Business came out, so instead of promoting them to the general public, they stayed much closer to the their original image as a sports brand. To this day, that is how the Oakley brand is widely recognized. A few notable moments early on would be Greg LeMond wearing a pair of Oakleys when he won the Tour de France in 1986. Andre Agassi famously wearing them on the cover of Tennis Magazine after apparently using them to cover up his bloodshot eyes after a hangover during a Davis Cup match. And of course, Michael Jordan wearing them during his brief baseball career as a member of the Birmingham Barons. During the early 2000s, Oakleys were featured in a few notable movies, including Blade 2, but believe it or not, probably their most notable appearance was in the opening scene of Mission Impossible 2, worn yet again by Tom Cruise. I know, it is crazy how good that guy is at making sunglasses look cool. Going back to the list, a brief comparison that I think is important is looking at other products that they have sold. And throughout about 90 years of history, it's almost impressive that Ray-Ban has been almost entirely committed to sunglasses. They did start making prescription glasses and smart glasses, but as far as I can tell, that is about the extent of it. Whereas Oakley has been much more aggressive. I mean, technically, sunglasses started out as an extension of their original business that had already existed for almost a decade. In 1997, shortly after Nike started making performance sunglasses, Oakley filed a lawsuit against them, claiming that they used their technology and infringed on their patents. It resulted in legal battles for the next 5 years or so before ultimately ending in an undisclosed settlement. But in the meantime, Oakley started challenging Nike directly in the shoe market with the introduction of the O shoe, followed by many others. So those are some pretty bold moves there. And also around that time, they introduced a $1,500 watch called the Time Bomb. Today, Oakley makes all sorts of clothing, in addition to bags, helmets, gloves. What I'm saying is that if you walk into an Oakley store, you will find way more than just sunglasses, which is going to lead me into my next comparison, retail presence. Today, there are 185 Oakley stores, with over 90% of them being found in the United States, including a few major sports venues like Yankee Stadium. Whereas Ray-Ban has 197 stores, but less than 20% of them are in the United States, meaning Ray-Ban stores have a stronger global presence, but Oakley stores are more common domestically. However, the much more important retailer when it comes to both brands is in fact Sunglass Hut, and this is where things start to get complicated. See, Sunglass Hut was started by an optometrist in sunny Miami, Florida, as a kiosk at his local mall. That is where the name comes from, and over the next 30 years, it grew into the largest sunglasses retailer in the country, with almost 2,000 locations. Well, in 2001, Luxottica acquired those locations for $462 million, not including debt, and let me put that into context. Luxottica is an Italian company that has become involved in just about every part of the eyewear industry. In 1995, they acquired Lens Crafters. In 1999, they acquired all of the sunglasses brands from Bausch & Lomb, including Ray-Ban. So here, they bought Sunglass Hut to expand their US retail presence while integrating vertically. They were taking control of the number one retailer of their Ray-Ban sunglasses, which, as you may have put together, was bad news for Oakley. Stick with me here, about a quarter of all Oakley sunglasses were sold at Sunglass Hut, so now they were essentially being taken over by their top competitor. Once Luxottica took control of Sunglass Hut, they heavily started favoring Ray-Ban over Oakley, which sent Oakley into a bit of a panic because they were suddenly having trouble getting their product to the customers. They quickly made some deals with mall-based athletic retailers like Foot Locker and went so far as to acquire the owner of 40 mall-based sunglass stores under various names. Over the next 5 years, Oakley almost tripled the size of that company before consolidating all of it under the name Sunglass Icon. Do you see how things got complicated here? Simply put, Ray-Ban and Sunglass Hut essentially joined forces under Luxottica and used that advantage against Oakley. And even though the two signed an agreement to keep selling Oakley products in Sunglass Hut, it was on a smaller scale, and all of these efforts were having trouble compensating for those lost sales. So, in 2007, Luxottica acquired Oakley for over $2 billion, bringing all of it together under one massive eyewear company. Many have argued that Luxottica may have become too powerful in the industry, considering they also own Pearle Vision and EyeMed Vision Benefits. From that point, Ray-Ban and Oakley have continued to compete as individual brands, but have operated under the same company behind the scenes, leading me to my final comparison category, competition. Considering almost two-thirds of the the U.S. sunglasses market is controlled by other companies, I figured I would take a minute to explore the rest of the industry. And for that, the only other brand that stands out in terms of sales is Maui Jim, responsible for something like 10% of the U.S. market. In 2022, Maui Jim was acquired by Kering, the owner of some of the world's largest luxury fashion brands, including Balenciaga and Gucci. Back in 2014, they had started Kering Eyewear to design, develop, and distribute the glasses for those popular brands. So after acquiring a few additional brands, including Lindberg and Maui Jim, Kering has become a major company in the industry. However, when it comes to, I would say, most other designer brands that are not owned by Kering, you know, like Chanel, Prada, Coach, well, believe it or not, those are also made by Luxottica under various licensing agreements. They made their first major licensing deal to make Giorgio Armani sunglasses back in 1988 and have gradually built up a collection of them. So to summarize here, Luxottica is by far the biggest company when it comes to sunglasses, being the owner of Ray-Ban, Oakley, and a variety of licenses, but Kering has also become significant as the owner of Maui Jim and some luxury fashion brands. Let me know in the comments, I guess, what are your thoughts about sunglasses? Well, first off, are you more likely to buy the premium pairs that I've been talking about, or the more disposable ones from Walmart or almost anywhere else? And for those of you that are more gravitated toward these premium pairs, what brand do you prefer, and what factors into that decision? Is it the style, the fit, maybe the reputation, and any other thoughts you have about Ray-Ban, Oakley, or any other sunglasses, leave them in the comments. I'd like to hear what you have to say. Thank you for watching.